Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading this week's San Angelo Standard Times. I'm reading on November 19th. These are articles that are for the week of Sunday, November 15th. I'll begin with the most recent articles, and I'll give the publication date before each story. COVID-19 update. San Angelo reports 169 new cases, 4 deaths. Tom Green County, City of San Angelo, November 18th. 7,650 positive cases reported. 169 new positive cases. 116 deaths. 69 from Tom Green County. 47 out-of-county residents, 88 currently hospitalized, 1,840 active cases. San Angelo area hits third day in a week, exceeding 15% hospitalization threshold of COVID-19, by John Tufts, published November 19th. San Angelo businesses are inching closer toward tighter restrictions, which may include forced closures, and reduced occupancy rates after the area hit another milestone from COVID-19. Tom Green County Judge Steve Floyd said the San Angelo area exceeded a 15% hospitalization rate for the coronavirus Wednesday, the second consecutive day and third day within a 7-day period, according to state health data. On Wednesday, November 18th, health officials reported 169 new positive cases of the virus out of those who tested in Tom Green County. There were 88 people hospitalized from COVID-19, with 1,840 active cases in the community, according to data released by the City of San Angelo. Floyd said Wednesday marked the third time the San Angelo area has exceeded a 15% hospitalization rate from COVID-19, a threshold state officials use to determine if Texas businesses can operate at normal or reduced occupancy. "We actually kicked over to 15.01% Tuesday," Floyd said. "For some reason, the Department of State Health Services lowered our hospital bed count down to 553. Floyd said hospital bed counts in San Angelo's trauma service area were as high as 575 a few days ago. Health officials have said that number can change daily due to patients admitted or released from area hospitals or when beds become available due to patient deaths. There were 86 people hospitalized with COVID-19 Tuesday in San Angelo, according to local health officials. Technically, if they report 88 hospitalizations Wednesday and we remain at 553 beds, that will give us our third day that's above 15% of a rolling 7-day average," Floyd said. "On Monday, we were at 14.09%, but with 88 hospitalizations, that's going to bump us up over 16% considerably." On Wednesday, the hospital bed count for Region K, San Angelo's trauma service area, stood at 540 beds with 91 patients hospitalized, according to state health data, last updated at 4:45 p.m. November 18th. What could trigger business closures from COVID-19? Floyd said state officials will look at the 7-day rolling average of hospitalizations from COVID-19 to determine if the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission should rescind the ability for some Texas bars to operate. On Wednesday, the City of San Angelo issued the following news release of frequently asked questions regarding COVID-19 and what might trigger state officials to act. What is the difference between the COVID-19 positivity rate and the COVID-19 hospitalization rate? The positivity rate is the percentage of all COVID-19 tests performed that are actually positive. A higher percent positive suggests higher transmission and that there are likely to be more people with COVID-19 in the community who haven't been tested yet. The COVID-19 hospitalization rate is the percentage of COVID-19 patients who are in the hospital versus the total hospital capacity. What happens to Tom Green County when our COVID-19 hospitalizations reach or exceed 15% of total hospital capacity? Whenever the percentage of COVID-19 hospitalized patients to total hospital capacity exceeds 15% on a rolling 7-day average, according to the Department of State Health Services, some businesses would be required to close and or occupancies would be reduced. Total hospital capacity is the number of staffed, available, and occupied beds. This includes pediatric and adult hospital patients, general and ICU beds, inpatient and outpatient beds, emergency department beds, the telemetry and psychiatric beds. We are in TSA Region K. Our region exceeded the 15% threshold on Tuesday, November 17th. If our region continues to maintain or exceed the 15% threshold, the changes that follow will be implemented by the state and the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, TABC. The TABC will require bars that were all open per Executive Order EO-32 to close, and businesses with occupancy rates that were increased to 75% will be reduced back to 50%. The occupancy reduction will primarily impact restaurants, libraries, event centers, and other businesses not listed under the CISA guidance or covered by other exemptions contained in EO-32. TSAK would remain under these restrictions until our rolling 7-day average of hospitalized COVID-19 confirmed patients is lower than 15%. Who has authority when it comes to restrictions or closures in Tom Green County? The county judge is in charge of COVID-19 restrictions in Tom Green County. This role is currently limited by the governor's executive orders. The county judge and mayor do not have the authority to close businesses. The local health authority supersedes all authority in the county except for the governor. The local health authority can cancel events and close businesses. What role does the mayor and city government play? The mayor and city government oversee city venues and enforcement of the governor's mask mandate. Outside of that, the authority lies with the county judge and the local health authority. Is the city and or county going to shut the city down? Under the governor's current executive orders, a shutdown is not allowed unless it is enacted by the governor. Will schools be closing? A top priority among community leaders is to keep schools open, to educate our children, and keep our citizens working. SAISD continues to monitor the health and wellness of students and staff and has placed enhanced safety protocols to support our schools. San Angelo skirting to a tipping point, says local health authority. In a media briefing last week, Floyd said public health authority, Dr. James Bretas, can make a determination if local businesses or events are ignoring social distancing and other health measures and impose restrictions that could lead to their closure. If we get past the 15% threshold and the governor says we need to start closing things down, I will hate it, but I will do it, Bretas said. Bretas said the community is skirting closer to a tipping point in which positive cases could potentially overwhelm the local healthcare system, and urged residents to wear a mask and to wash their hands. Indictment. San Angelo man sexually abused child for 3 years. By Elena Edgen, published November 19th. A San Angelo man has been indicted after a child younger than 14 years old was sexually abused multiple times, according to an indictment released Thursday. From August 1, 2016 through November 22, 2019, a man inappropriately touched a child two or more times. Jason David Gonzalez, 43, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of the indicted charge of continuous sex abuse of a child younger than 14 years old. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 9 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. A court date has not been scheduled as of Thursday morning, according to online court records. Continuous sex abuse of a child younger than 14 years old is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Goodfellow Air Force Base reports bomb threat. San Angelo School goes on lockout. By Elena Edgen, published November 19th. Goodfellow Air Force Base reported a bomb threat Thursday morning, which sent a nearby elementary school into lockdown, according to a San Angelo ISD alert. Around 9 a.m. Thursday, November 19th, the base received a bomb threat, according to a base news release. First responders are in the area, which has been evacuated, and a 500-foot cordon has been established. Glenmore Elementary School has gone into a secure lockout out of an abundance of caution in response to the threat, according to a district alert. The base's gates are operating under normal hours, according to the base release. The release also stated more information will be released when available. This is the second threat of its kind during the past month. On October 19th, the base had to temporarily close south gates after a military working dog alerted on a vehicle. The dog alerted the base to a suspicious package on a commercial vehicle entering the south gate, according to an emailed statement from Goodfellow Air Force Base. San Angelo preschool closed until further notice after four employees show COVID-19 symptoms. By Elena Edgen, published November 18th. A San Angelo preschool shut its doors after several staff members showed signs of COVID-19, according to a post from the preschool Tuesday. At 10:36 p.m., Tuesday, November 17th, the Santa Rita Learning Academy, 1623 Kenwood Drive, announced the closure via Facebook. The post stated four staff members showed COVID-19 symptoms. All classes have been in contact with at least one staff member, the post stated. We know this is difficult for you as families. It is difficult for us as well. We will get through this together. The preschool did not open Wednesday and will not reopen until further notice, according to the post. The city reported 223 new COVID-19 cases on Tuesday, with 1,842 patients who tested positive in Tom Green County currently being monitored by state health officials. Candlelight vigil scheduled for San Angelo baby who died after testing positive for drug. By Elena Edgen, published November 17th. The Tom Green County Coalition Against Violence will host a candlelight vigil for a two-month-old baby who died after testing positive for heroin. Brixley Marie Lee, a two-month-old girl, died November 10th after being found unconscious in a San Angelo home and testing positive for heroin. She spent 3 days on life support at Cook Children's Health System in Fort Worth before succumbing to her injuries. The coalition will host a prayer candlelight vigil for Brixley Marie Lee at 6:30 p.m. Monday, December 7th at the Tom Green County Courthouse, 112 West Beauregard Avenue. Private ambulances approved by city after San Angelo Fire Department overwhelmed with calls. By John Tufts, published November 17th. City council members approved the first reading of an ordinance Tuesday to allow private ambulance services within the city of San Angelo after a dramatic rise in non-emergency calls to the fire department. During a city council meeting Tuesday, November 17th, San Angelo Fire Chief Brian Dunn said his department was in danger of being overwhelmed. "We can do only so many non-emergency transports at a time," Dunn said. "Yesterday, I think I had four ambulances go out for an emergency in a six-minute period. I mean, it's just crazy, especially with COVID right now. We are getting run over." There were about 600 calls ambulance crews made for non-emergency transfers in 2019, which totaled about $150,000 in revenue, according to city documents. Dunn said emergency responses are reimbursed at a significantly higher rate and require a higher level of care in the responses, which he said would offset the loss of non-emergency revenue. "Even if the San Angelo Fire Department doesn't do any more non-emergency transports, our response volume is still going up about 400 to 600 responses per year," Dunn stated. Another reason Dunn came to the city council was due to Shannon Hospital's recent acquisition of Community Medical Center, which he said have increased transfers between both facilities dramatically. The transports between these entities and other facilities has just skyrocketed, Dunn said, then gave a personal example. The other night, I had to go to the hospital to see somebody at 11:30 p.m., and I had two ambulances just sitting there, he said. Dunn spoke to the ambulance crew and was told they had recently finished a non-emergency transport and had three more transports stacked up to midnight. Dunn worried the San Angelo Fire Department's ability to perform emergency transports in a timely manner could be jeopardized with too many ambulances tied up doing non-emergency transports. We're not going to take four ambulances out of service to do non-emergency transports and only leave two in service for emergency runs, Dunn said. He recommended permitting at least four private ambulance transport companies, an amount he felt would be able to handle the volume of non-emergency transports. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter asked if there were already companies interested in providing such services, to which Dunn stated he was in discussions with companies in Lubbock, Eden, and said Shannon also had a transport company working with them. City Manager Daniel Valenzuela asked for clarification that private ambulance companies would only handle non-emergency calls. They will not be doing any 911 transports, Dunn said, and stated the San Angelo Fire Department would strictly handle emergency 911 calls. District 6 Councilwoman Billy DeWitt expressed her support for changing the ordinance, but asked what liability such private companies would carry and if the city would be protected from potential lawsuits. "We're a litigious society," DeWitt said. "If somebody can be sued, they are going to be sued. What protection will the city have?" City Attorney Teresa James responded and said there was little risk of liability and that additional insurance policies would protect the city. District 3 Councilman Harry Thomas, who said he had served as an EMT in an ambulance, also expressed support for the measure, but questioned whether it would be necessary later. "I can see the need right at this moment for transporting because of the number of people who are in the hospital," Thomas said. "I don't think this is a long-term solution. I really don't think in 6 months you're going to need this many." Gunter disagreed and cited San Angelo's growing population, the building of more nursing facilities, and the recent Shannon community merger as a reason the ordinance was necessary. "Shannon is building facilities all around the city. We don't just have one central campus where everybody funnels," Gunter said. "It seems like the right thing to do, and I'm strongly supporting of this change in the ordinance." Dunn said other cities the size of San Angelo, including Abilene, Midland, and Odessa, already had similar services, and asked the city to allow private ambulance companies to do non-emergency transports to take the burden off the fire department. After about 15 minutes of discussion, council members unanimously approved amending current city ordinances to allow private ambulance companies, 7-0. The measure will require a second reading by the city council before becoming official. Here's where to get a pre-made Thanksgiving meal in San Angelo if you don't want to cook. By Rosanna Frere, published November 16th. If you're looking to spend more time mingling with family this Christmas and less time in the kitchen, here are some options for getting a meal that's already prepped. H-E-B. H-E-B is offering ready-to-serve Thanksgiving meals through November 23rd. Meals are available for curbside pickup November 23rd through the 26th and available for delivery November 23rd through the 25th. Meals are refrigerated and will need to be heated at home before eating. Prices vary from $69.99 to $119.99. Cured spiral sliced ham, serves four, includes honey-cured spiral sliced ham, cornbread stuffing, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, turkey gravy, and cranberry sauce. Smoked or oven-roasted bone-in turkey breast, serves four, includes turkey breast, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, cornbread stuffing, cranberry sauce, and turkey gravy. Whole oven or smoked roasted turkey breast serves 8. Includes turkey breast, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, cornbread stuffing, cranberry sauce, and turkey gravy. Oven roasted or smoked bone-in turkey breast and honey-cured spiral sliced ham serves 8. Includes turkey, ham, cornbread stuffing, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, turkey gravy, and cranberry sauce. And then it gives a web link to order online at HEB.com. Fleming's Family Dinner. Fleming's Family Dinner is serving pre-ordered Thanksgiving dinners for 10 people for $125 plus tax. All orders must be paid in advance. Call 325-617-5986 to order. Last day to order is November 21st. The meal includes a 14-pound smoked turkey, cornbread dressing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, green beans, rolls, and pumpkin pie. Market Street. Market Street is offering ready-to-serve Christmas meals. Dinners will be available for pickup on or after November 16th. Prices range from $100 to $140. Roasted Turkey Holiday Dinner serves 8 to 10. Includes turkey, herb giblet gravy, cranberry relish with oranges, pecan, and coconut, cornbread dressing, green bean amadine, mashed potatoes, and praline sweet potatoes. Turkey breast dinner serves 8 to 10. Includes herb roasted turkey breast, herb giblet gravy, cranberry relish with oranges, pecan, and coconut, cornbread dressing, green bean amandine, mashed potatoes, and praline sweet potatoes. Prime rib serves 4 to 6. Includes roasted prime rib, green bean amandine, hash brown casserole, horseradish sauce, broccoli rice casserole, and praline sweet potatoes. Sweet sliced ham serves 8 to 10. Includes sliced ham, glaze, broccoli rice casserole, green bean amandine, hash brown casserole, and praline sweet potatoes. All dinner orders require 24 hours notice. Holiday dinners are subject to store availability. For more, call 325-942-6627 or visit marketstreetunited.com/holiday dinners. Barnwood Barbecue. Barnwood Barbecue offers 2 holiday meal packages. Small family package serves family of 4 to 6. Includes choice of 5 pounds of turkey or ham, cornbread dressing, giblet gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, cranberry sauce, and yeast rolls for $69.99. Large family package serves family of 10 to 12, includes choice of 10 pounds of turkey or ham, cornbread dressing, giblet gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, cranberry sauce, and yeast rolls for $119.99. Desserts and extra sides are also available. Special orders of larger sizes are available upon request. Call 325-227-4460 to place an order. The Pit Barbecue. The Pit Barbecue is taking orders for Thanksgiving meals through November 20th. Pickup will be from November 23rd through the 25th. All meals include mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, cornbread stuffing, turkey gravy, and cranberry sauce. For the main dish, you can choose from smoked bone-in turkey breasts, honey-cured spiral-sliced ham, and smoked whole turkey. Price ranges from $74 to $140, feeding 4 to 8 people. Call 325-617-5004 to place an order. McGowan Catering Service. McGowan's Catering has a variety of sample menus, one being Thanksgiving-themed. Sample menu number 5 consists of turkey, ham, dressing, gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, cranberry sauce, dessert, and drinks. There are no prices listed because the price for a buffet meal will depend on several factors, such as number of people, location, time, etc. Call 325-655-1480 to inquire about this meal option. 40 dogs surrendered to SASPCA from San Angelo area home. Here's where they will go. By Elena Edgen, published November 16th. The ASPCA removed 40 dogs, including puppies, from a property near San Angelo, according to a news release. On November 10th, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals picked up 40 dogs from overwhelmed pet owners in a mobile home near San Angelo. The organization mentioned it was overcrowded, in substandard conditions, with inadequate access to food. Some dogs had medical issues, which will require veterinary treatment, according to the release. The owners voluntarily surrendered the dogs to ASPCA when they realized they could not provide proper care, according to the release. The ASPCA is pleased to be in a position where we have the expertise and resources to support pet owners in need and improve the lives of animals in communities across the country, said Kyle Held, Director of Investigations for ASPCA. The dogs were taken to the Fort Worth area for immediate care, according to the release. Over half of the dogs have been taken to the Humane Society of North Texas for treatment and behavioral evaluations. After evaluations, those dogs could be adopted. For more information about the dogs transported to the Humane Society of North Texas, visit hsnt.org or call 817-332-4768. The Tri-City Animal Shelter took some of the other dogs and planned to send them to the ASPCA Behavioral Rehabilitation Center in Weaverville, North Carolina. The ASPCA facility will perform behavioral evaluations and additional care before offering them for adoption, according to the release. 3 suspects charged in Sunset Mall kidnapping in San Angelo. By Colin Murphy, published November 14th. 3 suspects have been charged with kidnapping after investigators with the San Angelo Police Department's Crime Against Children Unit uncovered a plot to abduct a child at the Sunset Mall in San Angelo on Friday. Rudy Herrera, 21, Billy Griggs, 21, and a 16-year-old juvenile male have been charged with third-degree felony kidnapping, according to information released by the San Angelo Police Department on Saturday, November 14th. The trio are accused of abducting Herrera's 2-year-old daughter from the child's mother Friday afternoon at Sunset Mall. A preliminary investigation by the Crimes Against Children Unit indicated the trio drove to the mall where they located the mother and child. The 3 suspects then allegedly jumped out of the pickup while the male juvenile suspect abducted the child in what authorities believed was a coordinated abduction plot. Officers were preparing to issue a community-wide Nixel alert for kidnapping when Herrera was alerted that police were involved, at which time he called police to report the child was in his possession, a police news release stated. Soon after Herrera notified police, authorities located the child with the 3 suspects at a residence located in the 200 block of Mockingbird Lane. The child was safely returned to her mother. Herrera remained in Tom Green County Jail as of 1 p.m. Saturday in lieu of an $11,454 bond. His charges include kidnapping, exhibition of acceleration by moving out of traffic, and wrong placement missing registration sticker. Griggs remained in Tom Green County Jail as of 1 p.m. Saturday in lieu of a $10,000 bond on a kidnapping charge. No other information was provided about the juvenile suspect in the case. San Angelo ISD facing shortage of substitute teachers will pay higher wages in December, by John Tufts, published November 13th. Officials at San Angelo ISD announced Friday the district plans to hire more substitute teachers and will institute a pay increase for substitutes beginning December 1st, according to a news release. The announcement came a day after the San Angelo Independent School District stated it would eliminate in-person classroom instruction for high school students on some Fridays due to a shortage of substitute teachers. Due to staffing considerations, including allocation of limited substitutes and the health and wellness of our community, San Angelo ISD will pilot fully virtual Fridays for our high school in-person students November 20th, December 4th, and December 11th, a news release stated. San Angelo ISD Superintendent Carl Deathlock spoke about the need for substitute teachers during a briefing to local media Friday, November 13th, in which city, county, and other education officials addressed measures to limit the latest surge of COVID-19 in the community. "Our intent is to keep the doors of the schoolhouse open, and we need our community's help to do that," Deathlock said. Out of the roughly 12,000 students who were taking in-person classes at San Angelo ISD, 1.5%, 180 students, had tested positive for COVID-19 or have been quarantined. Deathlock said positive cases of COVID-19 had become problematic with teaching staff. He said it was difficult to hire substitute teachers on Fridays, a reason he cited for shifting high school students to take virtual classes at the end of the school week. "The goal is to push substitutes down to middle school and elementary levels because our fill rate last Friday was about 57%, Deathlock said. "So if you think about that, out of 120 classrooms, if we have 60 classrooms without professionals or teachers in them, then it's problematic," he said. "This mitigating effort is to push our subs down so we can continue having our schools up and running." Deathlock stressed that 98% of contact tracing for COVID-19 locally had shown that the virus was transmitted to the student from someone outside of the classroom, and credited school officials with enforcing rigorous measures to prevent the spread of the virus. "School is still a safe place for students to attend," Deathlock said. On Monday, November 16th, San Angelo ISD will open the window for 2 weeks to switch from either in-person to virtual-only instruction, effective for the next 9-week grading period, beginning January 5th, 2021. The last day to switch will be Tuesday, December 1st, according to the district news release. "We have experienced that surge, and we are going to attempt to do our very best to limp along through Thanksgiving and the holiday season, keeping the doors to the schoolhouse open, because it's important to our economy and it's important to learning," he said. How much money can substitute teachers in San Angelo earn with pay incentive? On December 1st, substitute teachers for the district who work at least 10 full days a month will be paid at the higher long-term substitute rate of $140 per day for certified teachers or $110 per day for non-certified teachers, according to a release. The 10 days do not need to be consecutive and can include assignments at different locations, the release stated. Interested applicants should complete an online substitute application and register for a substitute orientation session, the release stated. Substitute orientations will be conducted virtually through Zoom. The next substitute orientation will be held Wednesday, November 18th. For more information, visit www.saisd.org/subs to apply. 1 year later, couple sentenced in West Texas dog dumping. Changes made, Dogs Rehomed, by Elena Edgen, published November 14th. In 2019, a West Texas dog rescue group noticed large groups of dogs being dumped along rural roads, which prompted an investigation and the arrests of a South Texas couple. More than a year later, the couple has been sentenced. Dogs have been rehomed, and organizations have implemented change. Starting in the summer of 2019, Cow Dog Rescue, a San Angelo dog rescue group, received reports of dogs being dumped near Sonora. Rescuers in Crockett, Kimball, and Sutton counties cared for over 120 dogs abandoned along Interstate 10 between July and September. In September, coverage from the San Angelo Standard-Times and USA Today Network Texas sites helped people match the West Texas dogs to the Atascosa County Animal Control Shelter, more than 200 miles southeast of the dumping sites. Law enforcement investigated and stopped a Pleasanton couple, Katarina Lynn Martin and Wayne Milo Martin, along I-10 in a van of empty kennels. Katarina Lynn Martin was arrested September 29th and Wayne Milo Martin on October 3rd, 2019. Less than a year later, the Martins attended a court hearing in Sutton County. Pleasanton couples plead guilt, sentenced. The Martins faced four counts of suspicion of cruelty to non-livestock animals abandoned in Sutton County. This charge has a Class A misdemeanor, punishable by up to a year in jail and a $4,000 fine. On August 11th, the Martins pleaded guilty to one charge of cruelty to non-livestock animals abandoned each, according to documents released Monday, November 9th. Sutton County Judge Steve Smith sentenced the couple to 1 year of probation and a fine of $4,000 each. As part of the probation, they must perform 120 hours of community service and pay an additional $227 in court fees. Atascosa County Animal Control also no longer works with the couple and has not spoken with them since, according to Atascosa County Judge Robert L. Hurley. Atascosa County changes policies, moves forward with care. The dogs that led to the Martins' arrests came from Atascosa County Animal Control in Jordanton, about 40 miles south of San Antonio. The Martins often took animals from the facility, and officials believed they were taking them to a safe place. When the news broke out about what they were actually doing with the dogs, county officials set to work on new restrictions that could stop this from happening again. Robert L. Hurley, county judge, mentioned they now require receipts and research potential rescuers more thoroughly. "We learned from the Martins that people don't always keep their word," Hurley said. "We're stricter with who we deal with, and our contracts require receipts. We know the next residential location of that animal." These changes, along with the big increase in adoptions during the COVID-19 pandemic, have put the shelter in a better place, Hurley added. In the past year, the shelter has also made new connections with other facilities who help with dog adoptions. "Our adoptions are going great. There's no space pressure," Hurley said. "We're at 30% capacity. Our people have really gotten their systems up and running." They also keep in touch with local adopters and enforce spay-neuter and shot requirements. Cow Dog Rescue reflects on the journey and success. Cow Dog Rescue's efforts during the dog dumping brought forth attention and with it much support. From donations, fosters, adoptions, the rescue saw an expansion as they did what they could to save dogs. "It was amazing how the community jumped on board," said J.C. Pasqua of the rescue. "Whether it be fosters, donations, social media shares, etc., the support was remarkable. The support from sister rescues was also a saving grace. The support stayed even as the dogs found new homes. Due to gaining more wonderful fosters through this experience, we've been able to keep our numbers higher and take on more dogs in need," she said. "We also continue to receive donations from followers we gained during the dumping as well. We made lifetime relationships with people during this." The dumping has also stopped since the arrests. Pasqua mentioned all of the dogs have found new homes. The nonprofit created a calendar, From Dumped to Divine, in honor of the dogs and their new owners. Some of the dogs even found homes across the border in Canada. One of the Dumped to Divine dogs found his way to a comfortable life on a ranch. New owner of dumped dog celebrates adoption. One of the dogs left in West Texas is Little Man, a terrier mix that found his home on a ranch. His owner, Cynthia Banner, spoke of bringing him home. Little Man had to overcome every kind of worm a dog can get, she said. Once home, he had to be confined for a few weeks for treatment. After, Little Man fit right in with his new family. He definitely knows he's loved and will never be in the awful surroundings he was put in before Cow Dog Rescue saved him, Banner said. Little Man is so loving and precious to everyone he meets. We loved him from the moment we brought him home, and we're so thankful to be able to give him a home. Little Man enjoys cuddling, sleeping on his family's bed, and exploring the ranch with his 8 furry friends. Their favorite thing to do every afternoon is go for a ride on the ranch, Banner said. He's our little baby. Sheriff says San Angelo man loses control of vehicle, crashes during chase, by John Tufts, published November 13th. A San Angelo man lost control of his vehicle and crashed into a structure Friday after fleeing from law enforcement officials, according to a news release. On Friday, November 13th, deputies with the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office and officers with the San Angelo Police Department were investigating a man they said was wanted for a parole violation, evading arrest, and detention with a vehicle, as well as other suspected criminal activities, according to the release. Deputies attempted to detain the man, who instead fled in a vehicle, the release stated. The man lost control of the vehicle and crashed into a structure in the 500 block of West 17th Street, after which the man exited the vehicle and fled on foot, but was apprehended following a brief foot chase, according to the release. The news release did not state what structure the man allegedly struck or the extent of the damage. The man was taken to a local hospital for medical evaluation following the pursuit, the release stated. Deputies later arrested Adalberto Vega Rios, 45, on charges of evading arrest or detention. Additional charges are expected, the release stated. As of 5:30 p.m. Friday, Rios was in the Tom Green County Jail in lieu of $100,000 bond, according to online jail records. Affidavit states Ozona man headbutts San Angelo police, tries to flee while intoxicated. By Elena Edgen, published November 13th. An Ozona man was arrested after headbutting two officers, which left marks, according to an arrest affidavit. About 2:15 a.m., Wednesday, November 11th, two San Angelo police officers were tending to a passed-out man in the 1900 block of North Chadburn Street. They began to detain him for being intoxicated and gave him the opportunity to have someone come get him, according to the affidavit. The man attempted to walk away from the officers and a struggle began. During this, the man headbutted and possibly punched an officer's head. This left the officer with a red mark on top of his head and right temple and swelling in his right ear, records state. More officers arrived to assist and subdued the man. While walking toward a patrol car, the man headbutted a second officer. This officer had a small goose egg swelling on his forehead, according to the affidavit. Sean Lee Weber, 43, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of two counts of assaulting peace officers, public intoxication, and resisting arrest, search, or transport. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $30,962 bond hours later, according to online jail records. A new take on a San Angelo Christmas tradition, a parade in reverse, from Staff Reports, published November 6th. The 2020 San Angelo Christmas Parade will go on, but with a twist to ensure social distancing. This year, people attending the parade will be the ones in vehicles for what organizers Downtown San Angelo Incorporated has dubbed the 2020 Reverse Christmas Parade. Attendees are welcome to drive through historic downtown to view elaborate floats and performances from inside their vehicles. Floats and other units of presentation will be stationed on both sides of the street throughout the duration of the event. Walking the parade route will not be permitted. The event will be from 7 to 8 p.m. December 12th and will begin at 136 West Tuig Avenue and end at 200 South Magdalen Street. Contact Downtown San Angelo Incorporated to register floats or other entries or to become a sponsor. Call 325-655-2345 or email info@dtsa.org. Download the float entry form and participation guidelines online at downtownsanangelo.com. The news comes weeks after the Concho Christmas Celebration announced its annual Lights of Christmas Parade and Community Tree Lighting Ceremony were canceled due to COVID-19. The committee determined that the parade could create a situation that could encourage the COVID-19 to spread among our supporters, stated founder Lee Pfluger on the celebration's website in early October. The annual tour of lights along the Concho River will go on with minor modifications beginning Friday, December 4th with a soft opening. The lights tour will begin from 6 to 10 p.m. on weeknights and from 6 p.m. to midnight on Friday and Saturday evenings from December 4th through the 31st. A suggested cash donation of $5 per vehicle is appreciated. The tour and reverse parade will comply with all social distancing guidelines since people will be isolated in their vehicles as they enjoy the show. San Angelo and Tom Green County to see compliance officers to slow COVID-19 by Elena Edgen and John Tufts, published November 13th. San Angelo and Tom Green County officials announced a new community program to help slow COVID-19 during a Friday news conference, but were unable to disclose many details about what the program would entail. At 11 a.m., Friday, November 13th, several city, county, and education officials spoke at the McNeese Convention Center about measures to limit the spread of COVID-19. As in similar public briefings in October and September by San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter, she and Tom Green County Judge Steve Floyd stressed reducing the recent surge of COVID-19 was largely up to the residents. The numbers tell the story. We have gotten too comfortable and we've gone back to living our lives as if COVID-19 did not exist, Gunter said. This community has the ability to stop the spread if each one of us chooses to be part of the solution. We do not need Governor Greg Abbott to tell us what to do. We just need to do it, she said. From Monday to Friday, the city reported more than 1,000 positive cases of the virus. Compliance officers will check San Angelo businesses and events. Floyd announced the county planned to send compliance officers into the San Angelo area businesses and events to ensure precautionary guidelines to limit COVID-19 are being followed. Meetings will start next week to allocate funds to hire the compliance officers who will be volunteer off-duty law enforcement officers. At their discretion, compliance officers can report to local public health authority, Dr. James Vredis, whom Floyd said can make a determination if local businesses or events are ignoring social distancing and other health measures. Floyd pointed to Vredis's ability to close businesses if they refuse to comply. Both Gunter and Floyd reiterated, once hospitalizations are over 15% for 7 consecutive days, they will not have control on what will happen due to Governor Greg Abbott's order. If we get past the 15% threshold and the governor says we need to start closing things down, I will hate it, but I will do it, Vredis said. Floyd also urged responsibility, along with every official at the meeting. Some officials pointed to Halloween as a super spreader, though Floyd said there was no evidence to back the claim. I have not seen any data that Halloween was the super spreader. It was probably a contributor, Floyd said. I'm not going to go into people's living rooms about Thanksgiving. Vretta said the community is skirting closer to a tipping point in which positive cases could potentially overwhelm the local healthcare system and urged residents to wear a mask and to wash their hands. We're right on the cusp between whether we'll be able to make it through okay or when we'll have a disaster. I don't want to see us fall over, Vretta said. Since November began, Tom Green County reported 1,901 cases of COVID-19 and 13 deaths as of 2:25 p.m. Friday, November 13th. Extra patrols will be out this holiday season around San Angelo in attempts to keep travelers safe. By Rosanna Frere, published November 13th. Extra patrols will be out this holiday season around San Angelo in attempts to keep travelers safe, according to a news release. Deputies with the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office will be participating in the Selective Traffic Enforcement Program, or STEP, initiative with the Texas Department of Transportation. Deputies will be monitoring the highways for speeding, occupant restraint, and possible intoxicated drivers, the release stated. During the past year, Tom Green County had a 24% decrease in fatal or serious bodily injury traffic crashes. From November through December, deputies will be working the Click It or Ticket and the Impaired Driver Mobility Campaign. The goal is to reduce motor vehicle accidents and keep the holiday season safe for all travelers, the release stated. Late fall and early winter, a good time for maintenance on your lawn and garden. By Allison Watkins, published November 18th. Winter might seem like it's the time to stop gardening and working in the landscape, but personally, I love the cooler weather and find it easier to work on projects. There are plenty of things to do in late fall and early winter to stay productive and keep the yard and garden in good shape. Planting is not for spring only. Now is a great time for planting many things, such as trees, shrubs, and cool season vegetables, flowers, and herbs. Replace summer color with bright, vibrant flowers like pansies and tasty herbs like parsley and cilantro. Leafy green vegetables such as lettuce and kale can be planted now as well. Take some time to study up on proper tree pruning, because winter is a good time of year to do most landscape tree pruning. Even if you plan to hire someone to do the work, it is good to know the basics to make sure it is done correctly. Visit https://agi-horticulture.tamu.edu/earth-kind/landscape/proper-pruning-techniques to learn some basics. Also learn about how to protect plants from hard freezes. Not all plants need to be covered, but tender plants may need extra help to survive deep, prolonged freezes that might happen later in winter. Remember that it is all about trapping warmth that rises from the soil, not just insulating the plant from the cold. Cover as much ground as possible and don't cinch coverings up around plant stems. Watering several days before a predicted freeze can also help. For more info, see the Frosts and Freezes publication at https://tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture. Mulch is also a big part of winter protection, so be sure to replenish mulch in beds to protect plant roots. This is especially important for perennials with tender roots, such as Pride of Barbados, Yellowbells, and Lantana. A thick layer of mulch will help tender perennials survive winter and come back strong in the spring. Push the mulch out of the way a bit in the spring to help the soil warm back up so spring emergence isn't delayed. And then there are the tool maintenance and cleanup tasks to get done. Winter is a great time to work on cleaning, sharpening, and maintaining tools. Take the mower blade to be sharpened and research how best to care for power equipment, such as the mower and string trimmer. A fuel stabilizer may be helpful in winter when the mower is unused to keep it running smoothly. Purchase faucet covers and supplies to protect any exposed pipes to be ready for hard freezes that may come later in the season. Clean out gutters after leaves are done dropping to prevent clogging and possible damage to the home. Allison Watkins is the AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.